Good morning, folks. Boker Tov, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back. Let's talk about one of the Torah portions that is most famous for having the most extensive and arguably frightening, that is, if you're not walking in obedience, certainly, sets of blessings and cursings, as well as some other really interesting stuff, but particularly the blessings and cursings in all of Scripture. And, of course, this would be the parsha that includes Deuteronomy chapter 28 into chapter 29. But it starts all the way back in chapter 26, and the portion is called Ki Tavo, because it says, basically, and it shall be when you have come in, or when you come into the land which Yahuwah your El is giving you for an inheritance, and you possess it and you dwell, well, then certain things are going to happen. Okay, and it lists those things that are going to happen, including the Bikurim, the gift of first fruits, some of the statements that are made that indicate an understanding of what Yah has done. Elements of this sound vaguely, or well, more than vaguely reminiscent of what is said at the Passover. It's almost like a Passover telling, and it's all about essentially showing that I have not transgressed your commandments, O Yah, nor have I forgotten them. And in fact, there's some other elements in here. But basically, one of the keys is in 26 where it says, this day Yahuwah your El commands you. And he says this any number of times, to do these statutes and these ordinances and observe and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have avouched this day that Yahuwah your El is your El, and that you will walk in his ways, keep his statutes and his commandments and his ordinances and hearken unto his voice. And he too has said, he has avouched that you'll be his own treasure, as he's promised you, that you should keep all of his commandments. Notice the continuing emphasis on keep my commandments. Now, this is one of those things that I would say is not just a litmus test, but a bright red dividing line with respect to obedience and lack of obedience, or what you know I refer to as the whore church and the whore synagogue. The two whoring wives, the two sticks, the two houses, the two kingdoms. If we understand the history, it should all be very clear. But unfortunately, most Christians and, most of rabbinic Judaism doesn't really pay any attention to the history or prefers to ignore it. Why? Because it's politically incorrect. And why? Because both whoring houses remain in exile to this very day for having not done what it was that our forefathers promised they would do and they were warned about. And what's interesting to me, and this is where I'm going to begin, is in chapter 27, where essentially the Levites are commanded. And they say the following. Now, I won't read through all of these, but there's a list of cursed bees in here, and they're kind of fascinating. The last one in the list, I think, really sets up the place I think it's important to start, because a lot of us have and are in the process of coming out of what I refer to, and a lot of folks just don't like this. How dare you call the whore church what it is? How dare you point out that a whore that you know, takes money, takes the 501c3, and says things that the Creator says are abominations, don't say them, and if you do, there's a curse associated with them. Well, how dare you call that what it is? In fact, he does, and I'm going to read what he says, and you draw your own conclusions. So, the Levites are commanded, they shall speak, they shall say unto all of the men of Israel with a loud voice. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road, where there's some Kentucky windage involved. Okay, because I want to pause and I want to set this up and I want to go through some of the curse elements here. But it says this. Remember how the portion begins. When you have come into the land, it shall be. Well, guess what, folks? We know the rest of the story. We have been kicked out of the land. Both the whore church and the whore synagogue, the descendants, if you will, of the northern kingdom Ahola, southern kingdom Aholibah, Israel, a.k.a. Samaria, and Judah or Judea in the south, by whatever names, and there are numbers of them that are used in Scripture. As you know, sometimes the lines are referred to by the kings, either Judah in the south or Ephraim in the north. Ephraim, his daddy, is Joseph, so you have different names that are used prophetically to refer to these two kingdoms, along with Ahola and Aholibah, the two whoring wives. But regardless, I think it's clear that the descendants of those things can be found among, there are others that don't know and they haven't returned, but can be found among the ten lost tribes, a.k.a. the whore church, that came through Rome, but there's all kinds of whoring descendants and branches and denominations today that are essentially, many of them, not all of them certainly, but many of them are teaching that the law is done away with, nailed to the cross, doesn't matter. Jesus is a liar and the truth is not in him, because in fact he did away with his own law. That would mark him as a liar and the truth is not in him, and a false Messiah, if in fact he said that. That's part of the reason why I distinguish between, as Paul put it, another Jesus whom we've not preached, and the real salvation of Yah, whose name means Yahushua, salvation of Yah, who said he wasn't changing one yod or tittle, not the tiniest part. Again, all we got to do is read Scripture and recognize, line by line, precept by precept, you don't build on the rock, you build on the sand. How many ways does he have to say it? That if he had not done what he said he was going to do, which is, as long as heaven and earth still exist, until everything is fulfilled, and hint, hint, if heaven and earth still exist, if you think he's coming back, if Damascus is still a city, if the two sticks haven't been rejoined in his hand, and on and on and on, then folks, it's not all fulfilled, and therefore he didn't do away with so much as one yod or tittle. So let's talk about some of the elements, and this portion is another one where we see how important some of this is, because the choice is between life and death, blessing and cursing. That choice is outlined real clearly next week, but it doesn't get much clearer than the curses that are for rebellion and the blessings for obedience. But again, it begins here. And so this is the place where I want to pause and say, okay, what is it that the Levites said? They speak, they say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. All right, and that's where I got digressed for a second. Are we Israel? Do we want to be Israel? Can we be grafted in? Do we know our heritage? Are we or are we not Israel? And I've had any kind of number of so-called church members and Gentiles and people. And remember, Gentile implies that they're pagans. And if they're really pagans, then maybe they're telling the truth. But if they say, I'm not Israel, I don't have anything to do with that Torah thing, I don't have to walk in obedience, I said the get out of hell free prayer, and that's it, I don't have to do anything. Jesus saved me, and I can go and have a ham sandwich and get drunk and lay with some women and, you know, kill some folk and do whatever I want. Huh? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, which I will suggest the answer is the ones he wrote down for us in genuine print. Okay, back to what it says here. The Levites shall speak. They will say unto all the men of Israel. So here's the 64 million. Well, this is the life and death question. Are we or are we not? Do we or do we not want to be grafted in to that root that is Israel? Remember, Israel once upon a time was Kol Israel, the mixed multitude, all of those that came out of bondage. Later it was split and that name was applied to just the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom had a different name. Nowadays, of course, there's a political entity that calls itself Israel that doesn't have much to do with anything associated with Scripture, if you actually see what they're up to. And, you know, there's all kinds of arguments there. And ultimately, the problem is it's a secular twisting of something which is probably not really related too much at all, other than some historic and perhaps prophetic elements, because the name is similar. I suspect the name was chosen for a reason. But as we go through it, you're going to see there are elements of the cursings and other things that are all going to apply. The point is, folks, we have to rightly divide the word. We have to use discernment that he gave us. If we don't know Scripture, if we don't build line by line, precept by precept on the rock, he's warned us. In places like Matthew 24, we will be deceived. So, okay, here it is. Are we or are we not of the men of Israel? I will contend that even though we are in bondage, if we choose, knock, enter, seek, and ye shall find, if we choose to be covered by his blood, if we choose to be among those who are called out, then in fact, we ought to do what he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? If we want to be Israel, folks, we'd better start acting like it. We'd better start trying to walk in it. We'd better start asking, how did we end up here in exile, and what do we need to do if we're ever going to be allowed back in? He says, pray that we be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the world. I think that's good advice. After all, it came right from him. And pray, too, that we be found doing his work. What's his work? Preaching the gospel? What? You mean the whore gospel that the law is done away with, or the real one? The one that Paul said, ooh, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, teach and do what he says. We're going to talk about some more elements of that in a second. But I want to go through this understanding. Speak, said the Levites, and they did, to all of the men of Israel with a loud voice. Cursed is the man that does any number of these things. Makes a molten or graven image, an abomination unto Yah. Sets it up in secret. And there's a whole list of them. Now, what the sages have noted, primarily Rashi, is you look at this carefully at this list, and you'll see that there's a common thread here. Generally, these were things that were done in secret, right? Perverting justice due to a stranger, the fatherless, or the widow. Well, they were done in secret. Now they're done openly in places like New York City. Now they're done openly in places like the Department of Justice. Now they don't give a damn if everybody knows that it's justice, justice you shall pursue, but sure as hell not in the formerly free United States of America. So there were a lot of things that were done in secret, like adulteries and various kinds of incest, dishonoring fathers and mothers. Hell, the United States now subsidizes dishonoring fathers. That's part of federal policy, for crying out loud. So it's no longer in secret. And there's an element of this I think is particularly key, and it's the one I'm leading up to. Cursed be all of these individuals. And notice, what is it that the congregation, Kol Edat, the Kahal, says after each one of these? Let me read the first one. Cursed be the man that makes a graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yahuwah. The work of the hands of the craftsman sets it up in secret, and all of the people shall answer and say, Amen. Isn't that interesting? You don't hear that in a Sun God Day church, do you? Cursed be those that set up their little groves, and they put their little saints and their little idols up, and they light their candles. No, don't go there. You're being bad, Mark. Oh, how dare you say that? Well, I'm sorry. I'm just quoting what he said. Cursed be he, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. So if they don't say it in Sun God Day school, now do they? Wait a second. We're not done yet. All right? Let's cut to the chase and the end of the list here. Cursed be he that does not... Now, we can pick different words to describe the Hebrew that's used here. The root word is kum. Cursed be he that does not confirm, stand up for, prove, ratify, express, do. Essentially, though, confirm is a reasonable translation. Cursed be he that does not confirm all of the words of this Torah, this instruction, to do them. Huh. You mean we're supposed to confirm the words of his instruction to us to do them? And, ready? And all the people shall say, Amen! Not in the whore church. That's what they do, right? The law is done away with. Anybody ever heard that? Preached from a pulpit? Jesus did away with the law. I'm not under the law. I don't have to do any of that crap anymore. I can have my ham sandwich here to prove that I love the Lord. I'm going to have me some bacon, too. And if he says don't do it, I'm going to have me a female priest. And I'm gonna, yeah. Come on. You look at just about all the things that are being preached in the whore church and from the halls of the whore senate and those that are essentially the state church. And by the way, there's not much difference anymore. Ask the clergy response team if they understand much difference. Cursed be he that does not confirm all the words of this Torah to do them. The words of this instruction. What instruction? The ones that he wrote down for us. The words that he said he was not going to change. To do them. And all the people shall say, all the people shall say, Amen. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that in Sun God Day? Well, hell, they changed the very day that he says to keep forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. They changed the day that we're working up to here as we look at the fall feasts coming up on Yom, we have Yom Teruah either very soon or just past, depending on which version of the calendar people think is apropos. We don't know, because that's another one of the things that's been lost. But basically, we're in the season. Yom Kippur is coming up. He says that one carries a death penalty if you, in fact, do any work on it. Do you think it might be important? Well, the whore church says, I'm not under the law. I don't want to be part of his called out assembly. Really? Well, you make your own choices. Yeshua says choose. And you've made your choice. All the people shall say Amen. Now, let me just note, and I think a lot of people probably know where I'm going to go here. Look at Matthew chapter 5. This is, again, some of the very first words out of Yeshua's mouth in his very first public address, the Sermon on the Mount, right after he says, don't think for a minute, and I'm paraphrasing a little modern English here, don't think that I came to destroy the Torah, that's the Hebrew word that he used, the Torah or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill, to make complete, show you the meaning of. For assuredly, I say to you, long as heaven and earth exist, in other words, until heaven and earth pass away, and last I looked, they're still here, not one yod nor one tittle of the Torah shall by any means pass until all is fulfilled. Again, all has not been fulfilled either. So, he says, listen to this and ask yourself, what does this do in conjunction with the end of chapter 27? Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, and I think the words should be in here, probably were, and guess why they've been removed, if he repents shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, that one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Hashemayim. Now, what is the point? Cursed be he that does not confirm the words of this instruction to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Isn't what Yeshua is saying absolutely congruent, consistent with that? He says, you better confirm the Torah. That's what I'm doing. I'm not changing one yod or tittle. What does the whole church say? The hell with him and the horse he rode in on, the donkey he rode in on. The Messiah that we worship did away with the law, nailed it to the cross. I'm not under the law. I don't have to do that anymore because I worship another Jesus whom Paul and all of his disciples and Yeshua himself never preached. Could it be any more clear? Is it any more important now? Yeah, folks, it is, because we're fixing to not only read about the curses, we're seeing the curses playing out before us that comes from the kind of rebellion to his explicit word that we have been warned about throughout Scripture and that we've been warned about throughout recent current events and that we just got warned about again. Cursed be he that does not confirm this Torah, the words of this Torah, to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Again, they don't say it in the whole church. They say, oh, isn't that what we're being taught? Law's done away with. I'm not under the law. I'm so happy I'm not under the law. See here, watch me. Watch me eat my ham on Ishtar Sun God Day with my bunnies and my eggs. I'm proud to say that I could care less what he did for me on this day that may or not even be the right day. But I got my bunnies and my eggs and my fertility goddess, and I'm celebrating all of that. And by the way, they're 10% off, you know, if you get them right there before Ishtar Sun God Day. Folks, we are sitting here talking about the most dramatic set of blessings and cursings in the book. They follow a list of curses that are things done in secret. And I will contend the big hint is those things are no longer done in secret. They're done openly. The whole church is proud of the fact that Jesus died on the cross for one reason. We don't care about salvation, but we love our bacon and our ham sandwich. Oh, you're trivializing it, Mark. No, I'm not. Trivializing it is naming it after a pagan goddess and celebrating it with an Easter ham. And doing what he said not to do and saying you're worshiping him when he says, nope, that's called abomination. Choose this day whom you will serve. This begins with setting up an idol, an abomination unto Yahuwah and worshiping it. Do you think just maybe that's what they've done when they preached another Jesus and got rid of the real one and even took his name out? That's going to show up in here too. Now, I mentioned this, and I'm going to go back and touch this one base here again, too. It says in the beginning of this portion, when you have entered the land, it shall be, ki tavo, when you've entered the land, when you've come into the land that I'm giving you. But now we've been kicked out. So I started to ask this question. We're going to continue asking this question as we look at some of these things, because, well, clearly, we're not in the land. We're clearly in exile. Does it matter? Well, it matters if we might want to someday not be in exile because we're promised. As a matter of fact, it's one of the biggest promises most repeated in all of Scripture. The greater Exodus, the greater regathering yet to come. Arguably, and I've seen this written about, people have talked about it, midrashed about it, arguably there's more ink on the idea of the greater regathering, the Exodus that is to come, the regathering from the places we've been scattered, than there is on, well, various other elements that the whole church will call the gospel. The rapture, for sure. The crapture, as some of us call it. The pre-trib crapture, because there's nothing in Scripture that actually says that that's going to happen. So, isn't it funny? We don't pay any attention to the Exodus that he does say is going to happen, and he makes really clear is going to happen. Instead, I focus on something that arguably isn't going to happen, and I can take you through that, but that's a different story. We'll save it for another day. If there's questions, I'm happy to answer them. Most folks here have probably heard it and know. Just look at as it was in the day of Moses and when two people are here and there, and guess which ones were left behind, folks? Hint, not the ones that they wrote the book and the movie about. All right. So, I'm going to ask it this way. It says, when you have come into the land... We're not in the land. We are in exile for cause. So could it be, maybe we need to ask this question, and this is where I want to go at least in part here for the next few minutes. How about when you have been kicked out of the land? When you've been kicked out of the land for cause, now what? Now there's a couple of things that immediately come to mind. A, some of the curses, some of the blessings you can't do anymore. You obviously can't quote unquote keep his Moedim, his feast, because we're kicked out of the land. The temple's been destroyed as he promised. And we are no longer there, and we're no longer able to do that. There are other things we can do, even if we can't do them completely. Should we be trying to do those? Should we at least say, hey, Father, I'm starting to get the message. I know why I'm here in the corner. I know why you put that dunce cap on my head. I know why you punish me. Maybe I'd like to try to come back into your good graces. Maybe I'd like to be found doing your work when you return. Maybe I'd like to be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming. Which leads me to part two. Once you're out of the land, and a lot of these bad things have already come upon you, and we can look at history and see that, well, then what? Whoa, how much worse can it get? Answer. Read these curses. We're going to see it. And we're going to do that in just a minute. So that's where I want to go next, is understanding, even though we're not in the land, there are still some curses that I will suggest we can and are seeing, and I use the present tense, have seen some, are seeing others, and guess what? Almost certainly will see the rest of them, and that's where people ought to, you know, prick their ears up and start taking notice. Okay, let's, the blessings, let me just... No, I'm not going to minimize the blessings. The blessings are important. And I will suggest that if we read through the first part of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and ask ourselves, what does American history tell us? In a nutshell, remember the founders called this place, they said we were kind of like a new Israel. We're being regathered into the new promised land. We're coming out of Europe, coming out of the whore churches that were there, coming into a place where we can worship freely and where we have all kinds of constitutional guarantees to assembly, to speech, to worship, and all kinds of things that have pretty well been destroyed and that are being destroyed by, well, the curses right here in this book. But one of the things that I think you cannot really deny, there are those that will try, oh, America was racist from the start, and the founders were all deist bull, all right? But it does say this. This is the curses. Well, the curses are in part two. Part one, Deuteronomy chapter 28, first verse. It'll come to pass if, you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah to observe all of his commandments, which I command you, and do them. Could this have been said to be true? I will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. You know what, folks? Any honest reading of history says you cannot deny that. The United States was, arguably is no more, the most prosperous, the most blessed, the most powerful, the most economically successful, the freest nation on planet earth. Promise fulfilled. I will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. He did so. And guess what? For those that would say, well, we never did walk in obedience, and I would be among them. We never really, as a nation at least, we kept Sun God Day, and we got blue laws that talked about Sun God Day and the Lord's Day, but they were wrong. But at least people were sincere in their misconceptions and not knowing any better. In other words, our obedience was hardly perfect. But at least there was more than lip service to it, and there's a whole lot of people that probably grew up thinking they were doing, quote, the Lord's work. And you know what? Even though it was at best maybe a B on the scale, the result was pretty blankety-blankety impressive. All the blessings, they'll come upon you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah, one nation under God. What a concept. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that there is a God, the God who gave us life, gave us liberty, that the purpose of government is to secure these rights that come from Him, and that is why governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And He blessed us. Blessed you shall be in the city. Blessed you shall be in the field, in the country. Folks, we had cities that were marvels. We had cities that today are blue, stinking, fetid cesspools with feces and needles in the streets. I remember visiting San Francisco as a young engineer. A beautiful city. Frank Sinatra sang about it. The city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. Absolutely wondrous place. Even then, the seeds of destruction were clear. But I'll tell you what, there was a time when some of the cities in this country were spectacular places of beauty and of worship and of what men could accomplish when they did the right things on behalf of a God that they actually believed in. What a concept. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the young of your flock, your basket, your kneading trough. Folks, we were blessed in all of those ways. Blessed you shall be when you come in. Blessed you shall be when you go out. Your enemies that rise against you. America never lost a war up until they kicked God out of the schools and pretty well decided the Constitution that they put their hand on a Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and defend before Him didn't matter for squat anymore. You can look back and see when it all happened. Early 1960s. kick him out of the schools, never declared a war since World War II. All the things that once upon a time we said we had people put their hand on a Bible and swear to do, they lied about. Oh yeah, you can look and see that the seeds of destruction were planted earlier. And it takes a while. He gives us a whole lot of rope before he decides it's time I'm going to tie the knot. All right, he will command your blessing, his blessing in your barns, all that you put your hand to. Establish yourself as a set apart, a holy people for himself, as he's sworn to you, if you will keep the commandments of Yehuah-Yireh and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see the name of Yehuah is called upon you. I've even heard folks say, you know what, it's not Amerigo Vespucci, but America at one point actually has a name that has a root in the Hebrew that is associated with this idea of Amerkia. Interesting. Okay. Is that his name? Or people will argue that, no doubt. The point is, they don't know his name. It's certainly not a matter of something that gets discussed in the public cesspools anymore. And I guarantee you that if people were to call it his name, there'd be a bill introduced in Congress and it'd be signed, or maybe it would be an executive order from the whorehouse that would say, well, we're getting rid of that. We'll change the name to Satan as our master or something. And by the way, remember when they used to keep that kind of stuff secret? No more. Yehuah will make you overabundant for good. That happened. He'll put his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season. Blessed all the work of your hands. You shall lend unto many nations, but you shall not borrow. That was true for many, many years of this nation's history. Until we turned to abominations, got rid of what the Constitution called honest weights and measures, real money, replaced it with the Federal Reserve, and continued down the road that he calls an abomination. And here we are. And Yehuah will make you the head, not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath, if you shall hearken unto the commandments of Yehuah-Yireh, which I observe you this, I command you this day to observe them and to do them. And don't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Well, too late. Gone. Absolutely destroyed. Is America dead? I would be among those who would argue the America I grew up in, folks, has been dead for years, if not longer. As a matter of fact, even when I was a child, the clear vestiges were being exterminated at that point. So here we are today. And let's see where we are. And this is where I want to make the point again. When you have been kicked out of the land, this is where we start. The history, the scripture, makes it clear. There have been various diasporas, exiles of the people of both the north, the whoring northern kingdom, Israel, the whoring southern kingdom, Judea, kicked out. We're in exile. We've been scattered exactly as he promised throughout all the nations and tribes and peoples to the four corners of the earth. Here's how the curses section begins. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of Yehuah-Yireh, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you to this day. Here are the curses which shall come upon you and overtake you. Notice there's two steps there. Come upon you and overtake you. As I go through this, we're going to ask the question, what has already come upon us, and what is in the process of overtaking us? By the way, what parts have already been overtaken, past tense? We're going to see all three of those elements here. And notice it begins with the negation of all those things that were the blessings. Curse you'll be in the city, curse you shall be in the field. Okay, you can't walk the streets of San Francisco. You might step on a needle and be cursed in more ways than you can imagine, in more ways than you want. Cursed in New York City. Oh, if you turn your back on something, somebody may shove a knife into you. They may kill you. They may toss you onto the subway tracks and electrocute you. Or hell, they may just give you some disease or lock you up and tell you that you can't come out until you take the Zyklon B injection. If you're in a cesspool city, folks, the curses have only just begun. And let me just leave that as a simple warning. We're going to talk about some more of them. But the bottom line is the following, and I'm going to be as kind as I can and as blunt as I need to be. If I had a loved one, any loved one, second cousin twice removed, in New York City or Chicago or Los Angeles or Seattle or Houston or L.A. or San Francisco, I'm going to tell them, get the hell out of there. Get the hell out of there yesterday. Don't look back. Don't stop. Don't go past go. Don't collect $200. Get the hell out of there. Because you don't know when the hammer's going to drop, and if you're probably fortunate if it hasn't already. And for all you know, you may have been injected with the Zyklon B, and guess what? What do you bet most of the inhabitants of those places probably already have? In which case, you know, it may not matter. How much longer do you have anyway? If you don't start to get right with Yah, you're probably already, reaping the seeds of your own immune system destruction. So we have the negation. Cursed in the city, cursed in the field. Cursed be your kneading basket, your kneading trough, your basket, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land. If you took the Zyklon B, you're probably infertile. You won't necessarily even know it. Your kids are probably infertile. You're probably never going to have any grandkids. Cursed you be when you come in, cursed you be when you go out. Yahuwah will send cursing, discomfiture, rebuke. All that you put your hand to will be destroyed till you perish quickly because of the evil of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. I think that's pretty clear. Pestilence will cleave to you till he has consumed you from off the land that you went in to possess. Well, see, that part has happened historically. Did we go into another land to possess it? Yeah, arguably that was what the founder said. People came out of Europe. Later they came from other places, but they came here to possess a new land, the promised land, a new world, and that too is being taken away. And the invaders are coming in by the, folks, millions upon millions. And they're military-aged males, and they're special forces, and they are armed, don't kid yourselves, and they have come here. Well, what was it we heard about the adversary? Oh, yeah, they've come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yahuwah will make the pestilence cleave unto you, till he's consumed you from off the land that you once went in to possess. See, whether it's kicked out or having come into a new world, that statement still rings true. Isn't that kind of interesting? He'll smite you with consumption, fever, inflammation, fiery heat, drought, blasting, mildew. Well, we've seen those kind of things. We saw a real great example in the latest Fauci and Peter Daszak bioweapon and release, and the Pfizer, Moderna, et al., and government-mandated poison-poke Zyklon B injection. Don't kid yourself, folks. This did not happen by chance. It was not an accident. It was not something that happened as a result of an act of God. These were cleavage sites. These were things that were done with proteins and elements that were grafted in to create a bioweapon with malice aforethought and explicit scientific planning and knowledge of the human genome that couldn't have been done a few decades ago, but now is able to produce, oh, by the way, there are other ones, and they're already in the labs, and some of them are already being field tested. They start in Africa, typically, and then they'll bring them over here, and they'll release them in farms and fields, and they'll say, oh, look at this. This is going to mean you're going to have to go do more of the kind of crap that we used to kill you by the millions last time. Aren't we clever? All right, let's skip forward to some of the things that I think are particularly interesting. And here I'm going to go to, let's go to verse 28. Because if there's one that I would say, is it honest? Is it coming? Is it manifest? Or here we go. Verse 28. And by the way, you notice it keeps saying in the English crappy renderings. I despise this English twisting. The Lord! No, his name is not the Lord. His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in the Hebrew. It says that over 7,000 times. Most regular listeners here know that. They took that out and they put this other word in there. You can read the front pages of any Bible. They'll tell you, this is what we did to hide his name. Now, they don't actually say it that way. Isn't it funny? Things done in secret? Things done in secret are now revealed, but the things that they did are still secret, like his real name. It says in the real Hebrew rendering, Yahuwah will smite you with madness and with blindness and with astonishment, lev, of your heart. Madness and blindness. You know what? I guess we could put this in the modern vernacular. Let me try it this way. Yahuwah will smite you with wokeness. How does that sound? Folks, that is what has happened. Hollywood has been smitten with wokeness. The swamp is woke. New York is woke. Madison Avenue is woke. Most of leftist America is woke. That's a better word. It kind of goes beyond what we see with just mere madness and with mere blindness. This is the kind of blindness that he wrote about in Isaiah 66. I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Because they wouldn't listen. They chose that in which I do not delight. He has basically said it. And here's one where I'd say, it's a done deal. And you know what's going to happen? I will contend that the next election has already been pre-rigged. The answer is already in. Everybody knows what it is. The only question is, can they pull it off? Are people stupid enough to sit still for what is coming, and everybody knows it? Now, if they have to, they're going to keep trying. Plan A is to kill Donald Trump and to make sure we don't have to have an election. They've tried multiple times. They are going to keep trying. You can set your watch by it. And Matt Gaetz over the weekend said DOJ has told him, Department of Homeland Security, Achtung, the Gestapo. So if Merrick Garland and Mayorkas, the two Bond villains of the swamp, the Satan's right and left-hand men, if they say there are five hit squads already roaming America, three foreign and three domestic, you know that the answer is they're lying. Now, why would they even say this? Answer. And lots of people are making this point, and I think it's pretty obvious. Because they got at least six or seven that are out there doing it, and they're going to blame one of the five that they're telling you about so that their sixth and seventh and eighth can do the dirty deed in secret. Oh, by the way, wasn't that one of the curses? Next to last. Cursed be he that takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, yes, sir! Yes, sir, Mr. Mayorkas! Yes, sir, Merrick Garland! I'm on your payroll! I got my special forces ticket here! I'm gonna kill me a president! Cursed be he that takes a bribe to kill someone in secret. Folks, I'll say it. May the people who succeed or not, but are trying, may they be damned to wherever it is that they are jonesing to go and suffer whatever it is that the Word has told them they are going to suffer. I have no sympathy whatsoever for these sons of bitches, these sons of Satan in men's shoes. May they suffer what it is they are so anxious to receive. Amen. He says it, I will say, it's written. Let it be so. Read Psalm 109, by the way, if you want to see another indication of the same thing. He will smite them with madness and with blindness with wokeness. Okay, that one I would say is not only we've seen it coming, it's here, and we're going to see how it plays out. Okay, a lot of other things will happen that are particularly bad. Some of them we've seen. Your sons and your daughters will be given to other people. Your eyes will look and fail with longing for them all the day. You won't have any power to save them. They're going to be sent, folks, to die in the latest meat grinder. Some are going to die in Ukraine. Some are going to die on the southern border when the people that are coming here to take their farms and ranches come and steal them and take them away. Already some of them have been raped and killed in various cesspools around the country. Nothing happens there. The sons and daughters are already dying. But guess what? The draft that they've got planned, it has not yet been instituted on the scale that they intend to. That is, if they don't manage to get the nuclear war going first and it becomes a non sequitur. Your sons and your daughters given away. Fruit of your land and all your labors, a nation which you do not know shall eat up. How about 100 nations coming across a non-existent border? Whether it's Mexico or all of South America or most of Northern Africa or the Middle East or much of Eastern Europe or, for crying out loud, North Korea and China and the Taliban and the Hezbollah types. If there's a terror group, folks, that hasn't come across the open southern border and infiltrated America and gotten their free Obama phones and their bus and plane tickets and gone to their assigned cells in all the various cesspool cities, you got to ask what the hell's wrong with their leadership. Why haven't they taken advantage of the Obama and the Biden and the latest Harris regime open-door invitation and free stuff? They'd be fools not to have infiltrated and done whatever it is that the invading armies are setting up to do. And there's 10 million plus. I've seen numbers that say, no, 12 million, 15 million, 20 million, maybe as many as 30 million. But hey, you know what they say? Once you get past the first few million soldiers and the first dozen or so battalions of invading armies, what difference does it really make? Okay? All your labors will be eaten up by a nation which you do not know, or maybe more than one of them. You'll be only oppressed and crushed away. Oh yeah, you'll say, what happened to my country? Well, what about my veterans that are sleeping under bridges? Well, no, those are there because we got all these immigrants. Now, they didn't do anything except come in and steal, but they deserve your places. They're getting the best hotels in New York City. Hell, we're paying their rent. You veteran, you who gave your life and your son, yeah, you can sleep under a bridge, maybe in a box, because that's what we care for about you. You shall be oppressed and crushed only. I look at this and I say, okay, the question was, is it a done deal yet? Answer. Yeah. Any questions? So that your eyes shall be mad. You'll be mad for the sight of the eyes, things you will witness. I think you probably can say there's a lot of people in the United States, Americans of every stripe, who have given the last full measure of devotion. Maybe some are looking down from the grave. I don't know on that score, but I do know there's people that have lost loved ones that are mad, and they're saying, what did my son die for? What did my father, what did my brother die for? Answer, not for this shit, that's for sure. Mark said a bad word. You know what, folks? That was a kind word. Because what we have been given, what is happening to America, makes that word look pretty tame by comparison. That is the point here. He is talking about a level of cursing that makes the nastiest words you can come up with kind of pale in comparison to what is real. And don't think I'm kidding. We're going to see that. He will smite you in the knees, the legs with sore boils, from the crown of your foot, from your toes to your crown of your head. Listen to this one. This is interesting. Yahuwah will bring you, and the king whom you shall set over you, the king who... Well, see, we don't have a king in America. The hell we don't. Did anybody vote? Well, don't put it that way. Did the guy that actually was installed, the senile guy, you know, the guy that put his hand on a Bible and lied and everybody knew it because he didn't even know what the hell he was doing by that time, but he had spent his whole career saying, you scumbags, you don't have a right to keep and bear arms, you don't have a right to freedom of assembly, of speech, of worship. What was the first thing they did after they shut down the Keystone Pipeline and said, no energy for you? They said, we're going to take anybody that dared to protest our theft of the election and the communist overthrow here, we're going to throw them in the gulag. We're going to make Stalin look like a puppy in comparison, and they have. The king that you will set over you from a nation you have not known. Well, I guess you could read that and say, yeah, I could say that's true in several ways, right? First off, let's look back at Obama with the fake birth certificate, the one that everybody acknowledges. Now, he was not an American, never was. Kamala, you won't hear this being talked about on the press. She is not legitimately able to be president of the United States. She does not meet the criterion of having been a natural-born U.S. citizen, even if it doesn't mean what the language now suggests. Isn't it funny? They don't pay any attention to that anymore. We had a king, folks, who was, and remember the place in the Torah we just read it the last couple of weeks, where it says, if you shall set a king over you, he'd better be one of your brethren. He's supposed to write the Torah in his own hand. He's supposed to meditate on it, pray about it, and walk in it. Well, hell, we know that didn't happen. And he sure as hell wasn't an American. And yes, the birth certificate was faked, and everybody knows it, and it's not hard to prove. Anybody that has any understanding of Photoshop can recognize the cheap fake Hawaiian birth certificate for Barry Sabarco, Barry Sotero. What was the other name that he used that was a fake? Oh yeah, Barack Hussein Obama. Most people don't even know. That was the third of his aliases. At least. The king that will be set over you will come from a nation you have not known, not you nor your fathers. And again, whether that would be an America that we have not known, certainly is not the America my father grew up in. You will serve their other gods. You will serve their other gods. Isn't that funny? Look at what's standing in New York Harbor. Big picture of Dionysus. Big sculpture of Dionysus. Oh no, that's the Statue of Liberty. Except for folks, it's not the same at all. It's a pagan goddess. Most people don't know that. Most people don't care. Have you ever been to the Washington, D.C. and the pentagram and looked at all the paganism in the swamp? It's astounding. But that's just a tiny part of it. Because what do we have today? Arguably, what we have is a nation that's being run by AI, whether people know it or not. ChatGPT is just one little bit. There are pieces of this, and these aren't just gods of wood and stone, as I like to point out, silicon, various elements of quartz and other things that we know about from lithography and understanding how chips are made. These are essentially a different form of a god that could be described as being of stone, or at least a silicon or semiconductor material. So Scripture is true on more than one level, and some things that are now clear in hindsight might not have been clear even, 75 years ago, for sure. The AI part probably wouldn't have even been clear a dozen years ago. You will become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where Yahuwah shall lead you away. There's more. Here's one. The stranger that's in the midst of you, or that comes across your open borders, shall mount up above you higher and higher. You shall come down lower and lower. He's taking your houses. He's taking your food. He's taking your retirement. He's taking your jobs. Every job that was so-called created in the last few years, and there are not as many as have been lost, has been filled by foreigners, and in most cases, illegal immigrants, actually invaders. And by the way, remember, a lot of the illegal invaders don't have to have jobs because they're getting paid from Communist China or the Taliban or wherever it might be, and or MS-13, or now we got Tren de Aragua and others. He shall lend to you, you shall not lend to him. Oh yeah, we got all of that. You shall be the tail and not the head. He'll be the head. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed. Why? Because you did not hearken, didn't listen, didn't hear and obey the voice of Yehuel to keep his things that your whore church said don't keep. They're all done away with anyway. His statutes, his commandments, his judgments, which he commanded you, and they lied to you and said don't matter. They're done away with. That's all Old Testament stuff anyway. They shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder. Because you did not serve Yehuel with joyfulness, gladness of heart, by reason of the abundance of all things. The abundance that this nation once had, folks, was literally historic. Now, what's interesting, and I'm going to read a little bit more here, because from here on out, I guess I will contend, we are seeing the things that now are clear, that are coming upon us, that have not yet been made completely manifest. Now, I'm going to point out a couple things. One, I don't believe that these curses are necessarily chronological. You notice some of them happen sooner than others. Some of them we've seen harbingers of for a very long time. So, just like Revelation is not necessarily chronological, and some of the things there are not in order as we might expect them, that is true of the curses as well. As a matter of fact, it should be obvious, some of the curses take a while to build up. This wokeness was a long time coming. It took a long time to condition people to be as stupid as they are now. To the point where CNN, the Criminally Negligent Network, and MSDNC and some of these others could literally lie 24/7 as opposed to just the 80-20 rule. You know, they lie once in a while. And now they can lie continually and get away with it. Things that were once done in secret are now done in open. Okay? But here's the part that I think is interesting. I mentioned the captivity. I mentioned verse 43, the stranger that's in the midst of you shall mount up above you higher and higher. That one I just have to say, duh. Now, you remember, you're not going to hear that on CNN. They're going to lie to you about it at the New York Times and MSDNC. They're going to continue to lie. They're going to lie to you right out of the Department of Justice. Kamala Harris, the border czar, has already been lying about it. What invasion? Oh, no. Oh, well, except for when she's going to stop it. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. But verses 45 through 47 have given us the why. And this is where the transition happens. Remember, why? All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you because you did not hearken, hear and obey the voice of Yahuwah to do what I asked you to and you said you would do, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Did not serve him with joyfulness, with gladness of heart. Okay? Then what? Well, listen to this, and this is where I think we are today. By the way, it's not just one nation, although I guess you could say whether it's maybe some conglomeration that we might know. Remember in World War II, there were the Allies and there was the Axis. So the Axis consisted of multiple nations, but it was just one kind of evil entity, right? Japan and Germany primarily, but there were some others. All right, and once they conquered some others, they started getting people there too. The nation that comes from you against you from afar, from the end of the earth. Yahuwah will bring this nation, will swoop down you like a vulture swoops down, a nation whose tongue, whose language you will not understand. Well, now wait a second. Let's see. Could be Mandarin Chinese. Yeah. Don't understand that, most folks. How about could be Russian? Yep. Could be North Korean. Yep. There's other candidates. But those three will do. Could be Iran and whatever language, Farsi or whatever else you want to put in there. A nation of fierce countenance that shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And this nation and all of those that come against you, or maybe the Axis that comes against you, shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, till you are destroyed. Won't leave you any corn or wine or the increase of your cattle or your oil or the young of your flock until he has caused you to perish. Well, that's a work in progress. And not only that, you got the traitors within that Cicero warned about in the Roman era so many years ago. Traitor from within that's in your gates, worse than, a bigger threat than the traitor from without. Why? Well, because he can move with stealth and with guile. He can open the gates. This is what the Biden regime and the others have done. They've said, come on in. We'll give you tickets. We will give you weapons that we're going to take from the American people. Isn't that clever? You can just kill and destroy to your heart's content. We'll let you sit in their houses and take their houses over. And furthermore, if somebody dares to try to shoot back, hell, in Arizona, we'll make an example of them like they did that rancher. What did Kamala do before she was the whore that wanted to be the madam of the White Whorehouse? Well, she was the attorney general. She got there by whoring, too. And what did she do? She busted down doors of people that had guns that were registered, fools that they were. What else did she do? She prosecuted people for daring to defend themselves. And she made sure that if the invaders came in and they did evil things, they went right back out on the streets. But how dare you stand up against what we have brought against you from afar? The invader is allowed to break the law. He can rape, he can kill, he might not even get deported. And now, there was a bill introduced in Congress this week, basically saying if somebody comes in and they got a conviction for rape or violence, hell, that's no reason to deport them. Let them come on in. Let's get their bus tickets. Where do we need them? We got plenty that are doing the dirty deeds in places like Springfield, Ohio, and in the border towns. Denver's pretty much a swamp. Let's find someplace else. This invader shall besiege you in all your gates till your high and fortified walls come down. The things that you indeed did trust throughout all your land, he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land which Yahuwah your El has given you. Anybody doubt that at one time, from sea to shining sea, matter of fact, there were songs written, there were people that essentially proclaimed that this land is mine. Yes, I know it comes from the Exodus, but it was also a theme that we saw in America. There are a lot of people that were thankful that there was land and that they could go homestead that land and build a place, 40 acres and a mule, and have a place to farm and a place to raise their children, a place to worship their God, to have the protection of the rule of law. Land that arguably they would have said, I guarantee you, for 150 years, most of America would have said, this land is land that has been given to me by the Creator, and I'm thankful to Him for it. Now, there's a nasty part that's coming up, and I want to work up to this in just a second, because I'm going to contend when it comes to the things that really ought to show us where we're at and what's coming, this is the part that is key. But it's interesting. I want to set it up with this first. Because when we read this part about He will besiege you in all your gates, your high and your fortified walls will come down, the things in which you trusted, we tend to think of city gates and, oh, that's ancient stuff. You know, that's ancient stuff in the Middle East and maybe in Europe where there were castle walls and there were walls around Jerusalem and the fortified cities. The Bible talks a lot about that. We don't have fortified cities anymore. What do we got? We got standing armies. We got a standing navy. We've got an air force. We've got the mighty projection of power of the aircraft carrier. The theme of World War II, the projected power across all the nations of the earth. That is what we put our trust in. We have the triad, right? The nuclear triad that we put our trust in. Land and sea and air-based nuclear defenses. Missile defenses. We have their nuclear sub-fleet with Trident missiles and cruise missiles. Oh yeah, we trust in our oh-so-strong navy. The Navy that is a laughingstock? You mean the Navy that's LGBTQ? The Navy that has come to the point where they say, oh, we don't give a damn about protecting, and well, that's the police, protecting and serving. No, we don't do that either. We don't care about the borders. We might defend Ukraine's borders, mind you. That's worth sending people to die for. But as far as Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, hell with them. How about, why is our Navy over in the Persian Gulf instead of in the Gulf of Mexico? Instead of on the east and west coast, while they're poking the bear. Answer, because it's not about defending the country anymore. But wait a minute. This is the one that I think is interesting. Okay, I want to reread this. He will besiege you in all your gates till your fortified walls come down. If we take that as a metaphor and say, well, isn't it our navy that is our fortified wall? that projection of power. You know, folks, I'll share something with you. I don't know if I've talked about this publicly or not. I've had a vision for the longest time. I won't call it a vision like some people do of a dream, just kind of an understanding that, you know, you can take this for what it's worth. This is just pure markology. This is just something that I have been, I wouldn't even say told by the Father. It's just something that seems logical to me. Let me leave it at that. But I have a suspicion, there's another way to put it, that when the end comes for America's projection of power, when America finally wakes up and says, oh, shit, yeah, literally that phrase will come out of millions of mouths across the world and the country, it'll be when a carrier group, USS Eisenhower, whoops, that's already happened, Eisenhower's back in port, pick a nuclear carrier group, is sunk, is destroyed. And America says, wow, how's that for projection of power? Well, wait a minute, there's another option now. And if you didn't see this story, I'm going to throw it into the mix, because this high and fortified wall, this projection of power in which you trust, well, one of those is the nuclear subfleet. Now, if you didn't hear about this, you should. I've got the story sitting here in front of me. I'll admit, if I was to read this and not see the bylines, I would think it was the Babylon Bee or the Onion. Okay? And truth be told, they've probably written about it. But here we go. The one I'm looking at comes from Matt Walsh. I confirmed this with several stories, including something that was called Pink something or other, that was saying how wonderful it is. Only the bigots aren't thrilled about this. Just to tell you, oh yeah, the left is celebrating what the right is saying. You've got to be blankety-blanking kidding me. The U.S. Navy has launched a new, ready, gender-neutral, woke joke sub. It's called the USS New Jersey, the first U.S. submarine built explicitly for both genders. And in fact, it's scuttle-ready is the term that I would use. Everybody knows any Navy term. Scuttle-ready is a great way to put it. You know, if you don't want to talk about a screen door-equipped submarine, this is kind of another way to put it. U.S. Navy commissioned their new submarine last Sabbath. Isn't that appropriate? They did it on a Sabbath to boot. First vessel in the fleet designed to fully integrate male and female and, oh yeah, they didn't say it, but let's put it in there because we don't know, transgender sailors. It's the USS New Jersey, a fast attack Virginia class sub commissioned during a ceremony at the Naval Weapons Station, SICK, in Middletown, New Jersey. Said the commanding officer, Steve Hall, addressing the sub's crew during the ceremony, I'm amazed and humbled at what we've accomplished. Our superior professionalism is enhanced by our crew integration and our diversity. We are diverse. We're so diverse we can't even know. Good. Folks, let me read this again. He will besiege you in all your gates until the things in which you trusted, your fortified walls, come down. Throughout all your land, well, and I guess throughout all the seas, too. We have exceeded expectations, he said, and we have overcome every obstacle set before us. What, you mean obstacles like military standards, logic, unit cohesion, battle readiness, and combat efficiency? Now, to say that this is a joke, honestly, is an understatement. What they have done is they've rechanged the levers, and they have redesigned the ship, and they have spent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to create a submarine which can be operated by second-class sailors that don't meet the standards that existed in the Navy for all of its existence prior to woke crap. If it doesn't piss you off, you're not paying attention. This is an invitation to say, come on, you think it's great? Hit me. Just take me out, because I'm telling you what's important. And hint, it's not battle readiness. It's not unit cohesion. It's not fighting a war. It's being politically correct and woke. It is an epitomization of all of the curses that are written right here. Oh, yeah, it angers me to the core, folks. I don't know how long this damn sub will last. I wonder if they're going to put pink and rainbow-colored flags on it and say, let's put its little propeller so that it makes more noise so that the Russians will be easily able to target it. Or maybe they'll just hear people blinking in the new crew quarters underneath the seas and say, that's how we can target them, because they're making so much noise. I've got some comments here from former Navy commanders, sailors, sub-operators, and you name it. Let me just read a couple of them. This is one of the most dangerous, idiotic, woke decisions ever. To think you're going to have 18 or 20-year-old men and women cramped together for 6 months at a time and not have problems. I remember when they put women on surface ships, and jealousies, affairs, and pregnancies were the immediate results. There were transfers of females, court-martials, and etc. Now they're putting them in a cramped cylinder under the ocean. This is a safety issue. You cannot make young men and women devoid from being young men and women. Big problems on a billion-dollar nuclear sub. Somebody else said, wow, a DEI sub. Now I feel safe. And here's another one. Says, I sure wish, sadly, they got what's right here. They spent the important money not on things that were stupid like stealth and weapons and advanced propulsion systems. No, they spent it on this kind of crap. How about this one? Now, I read the details of the story. I'm not going to share this with you. But they have all these quarters that are more soundproofed and that are more separated. All the better to boink under the... This is ridiculous. They've now got separate quarters so that they can go off and have little places for trysts that didn't exist when we had everybody together in one big room sharing bunks. They're not really separating them, said another sub operator. They're making it more convenient to cohabit, making it so that weak people can operate the machinery and levers. And yep, I just retired last month after 36 years in the military. The plug has been pulled. The military is in the final stages of swirling down the drain. Here's another one that says, I know people still on active duty. I was for 12 years. And now it'll be on a new sub. I've known junior female petty officers who made a whole lot of money from their shipmates on Liberty. Guess how? Okay. They made a lot of bucks, and they got to rotate off of their deployments when they got pregnant as a result. Okay, I had 20 years in the Navy. My son asked about serving. I told him, don't. Very sad. Here's another one. I'm a U.S. Navy submariner vet. Subculture is very different. This project is going to have problems. Gee, do you think? You're in your own world on a sub. The stress is immense, and in the event of an emergency, there is no room for failure. Pregnancy will affect the boat because replacing a crew member that's on a six-month deployment under the water and cannot surface because they will be identified, replacing a crew member on short notice is close to impossible. Folks, this is beyond stupid. This is literally like wearing a sign that says, I'm disarmed, come and hit me. I don't have any guns in this house, come and steal my stuff. Okay, I served on a frigate. We brought females on board. All these issues that Matt, in the article here, Matt Walsh said would happen, did happen. We got nothing except sexual tension and a general reduction in morale and unit cohesion. Well, except for the people that were getting laid while we were underway. Okay. I saw female officers, said another one, and he gives his details here, telling other women to get pregnant so they could get out of deployment. One ship attached to our base had women, and it was always breaking down, and at the time there were some 50 female sailors and over 100 males who were busted for prostitution and soliciting. Okay, and this was all back in 93, he said. Things have gotten worse since then. Last one I'll read. There's tons of these. Folks, this is the kind of stupidity that any, and I mean any, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, anybody with half a brain, but especially a submariner, would have said, are you stupid? Are you crazy? Or are you trying to destroy the military? The answer, it's the latter. They're trying to destroy the military. Here's another one. This is going to be a massive problem. On surface ships, female sailors get pregnant at alarmingly high rates. I've seen numbers 50-50. Every now and then the press wants to attribute this to an assault, but the reality is most of these liaisons are consensual. When female sailors get pregnant, they're taken back to shore, which disrupts operations of the boat. Everything is worse on a sub. All of the crew, 100-plus people, and there's over 100 on this sub, are necessary for operation of the boat. Folks, a submarine has no spare room on board. Not to make separate quarters and soundproof them for more adequate boinking underneath the waves. They don't have room. And you take a sub and you redesign it so that inferior people can operate it. You are, by definition, destroying the ability of that sub to do its job and making it less effective. And therefore putting everybody who's on board that stupid thing at risk of their very lives, not to mention those that are relying on them to defend them, stupid people that we might be. So, he says, a crew which stays submerged much of the time, all of them are necessary, that has a problem. When a female sailor gets pregnant in this new regime, the sub has to break off its mission, surface, rendezvous with transport to get the female pregnant person off, find some way to replace her on a small crew, and then get back to its mission. which is ignoring lack of strength for performing damage control. Imagine an emergency. Got to close a bulkhead. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Can somebody else get in here? No, we sealed the bulkheads. Sorry, the ship's going down because you can't turn the damn knob. Mood swings on a monthly cycle. It is a disaster waiting to happen. Okay, Mom, maybe you've heard this. Half the girls wind up getting pregnant. This is another sailor. During Desert Storm, they had a hospital ship that had so many pregnancies, everybody knows what they called it? The Love Boat. Okay? And that's just part of the story. Again, you look at this, and I'm asking this question. Are we seeing these curses come into play? Can we look at this, and can we see? He says, you're going to be a mockery. The nations of the world will look at you, and they will laugh! And they will mock you for your stupidness because you were once one of the most powerful nation on earth. You were blessed by God, and now you have earned the curses that He is bringing upon you. Okay, what else could possibly top that? Let's go for it. This is the latter part. Now, I read through this last night, so some of you know where I'm headed. And what's interesting about this, this is one of those places where we've already seen it, but we're not done yet. It says this in verse 53, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom Yehuahurel has given you, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemies shall straiten you. Now let's pause for a second, okay? You look and see what is the primary element of the DNC platform. The hooker-in-chief wannabe dictator, what's her primary thing? We got to have the sacrament of abortion. There's nothing more important than letting women kill their dead babies. They're dead already because we don't want them. We don't want you. By the way, my body, my choice is about as gross of a lie as you're ever going to get stuffed down the throats of ignorant people. Try saying no to their Zyklon B injections. Did you try that? How about telling them, you know what, I was raped and I think I want a gun. I live in New York City and I know that my neighbor wants to come and take me by night. Sorry, you can't have a gun. My body, my choice. Nope, that's for killing babies. That's not for preventing babies from being made. But we will tell you this, when he does come and rape you, then you can kill the baby. Isn't that special? Oh, how wonderful, how thrilling, how caring we are. We'll provide you health care, if he doesn't kill you, that is, in the process of raping you, or maybe cut off your breasts, or mutilate you in some way. Folks, this kind of stupidity can only happen in a nation which has forgotten God and is jonesing, deserving of the plagues that He's promised and now bringing. Now, I mentioned this one about eating the fruit of your own body. Ask yourself the question. Anybody remember flavonoids? Various, remind me, was it Dr. Pepper, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo? There were all kinds of reports. For the longest time, they were conspiracy theories. And like all good conspiracy theories, it turns out they were true and the media just was lying about them. But what they were doing was they were using immortal cell lines and they were using various elements derived from stem cells for research on the one hand and putting them in people on the other hand. Isn't that wonderful? That's kind of like eating your own bodies. But wait a minute. How about flavonoids and flavor enhancers and things that are involved in making sure that your cola tastes better? I'll just put it that way. Turns out those were derived from dead babies as well. Oh, no. That's actually true. And it's not a big deal. Were we actually eating dead babies if you were drinking these Cokes? The flavor enhancers? Well, wait a second. No, see, that's just the harbinger, just the tip of the iceberg. Now, you know about, we've already seen about this, the people that said, I want my Lamborghini, I want my Maserati, so I'm going to harvest the organs of these dead babies. And, of course, Kamala says, yep, and we'll pay for all of that because we got more killing that needs to go on. What happens when the grocery stores have their, well, first, as she's already said, we will put price controls in place. So that if you think the shelves are empty now, just wait. If you think what we've got coming with the currency meltdown when the shelves at Walmart are empty, if that's not good enough, just wait. All right, once we get the supply chains have already been destroyed. They're already working to get rid of diesel tractors and diesel trucks and to replace them with trucks that can't carry anything because they got to carry batteries instead of fuel, and there won't be any of them those trucks on the road anyway because the truckers are going to say, to hell with this, I'm out of here. What happens? Well, eventually the supply chain breaks down, and we get a massive interruption in food. Food isn't grown, food isn't planted, food isn't harvested, food isn't shipped, food doesn't show up on the shelves, and besides which, we're going to have price controls, so they're going to say, you can't afford it anyway. So we are already literally on track for a famine. But wait a minute. There's more. And that's exactly what is intended. A world war can certainly bring that about. We've seen it. The rationing that will happen. The emergency lockdowns that will happen. Oh, how about the next release of the bioweapons? Let's kill all the cattle. Let's kill the chickens. They've already killed 30 million chickens in America alone. They're going to kill sheep in Australia. You name it, folks. If it could be food, if it was food that the Creator says, I put here for your blessing, goats and sheep and cattle, they're going to kill them. And they're going to say it's for your own benefit because we want you to eat worms and mealworms. And Klaus Schwab wants you to have bugs. What he does want is, you know, not to have anything. People will be jonesing for their bugs. What am I heading up to? I'm heading up to what he is saying right here. If you think it's bad now, just wait. Here is the part that is coming, that we can see coming, that we can see all the elements are already in place for. The supply chain destruction is baked in the cake. The nuclear war part, they're jonesing for. And the rest, as for when the four horsemen, you know, finally decide it's time to ride and really unleash the hounds of hell, that's coming. Let me start again with 55. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom Yahuwah has given you. In the siege and in the straitness. Now, the siege and the straitness is a reference we recognize from history when they would besiege a city and surround it and cut it off. Essentially, what would happen is people inside the city couldn't get anything. And the only food they had was the food they had stored up. It might take 6 months, but when they ran out of food, they were in a whole heap of trouble. And one of two things eventually happened. They opened the gates and said, come on in, kill us, take us, do whatever you want, but we're starving to death here. Or they ate their sons and their daughters. And history says they did. So here's one of those elements of history and of Scripture where we say he's telling us what we have seen before and arguably will see again. But as always is the case with Scripture, there's more. Listen to this and think about what it means in the context of today. The man that's tender among you. Does that mean he's a metrosexual? The man that's tender among you, very delicate. His eyes shall be evil against his brother, and against the wife of his bosom, and against the remnant, the remainder, the few of his children that are left, so that he won't give any of the flesh of those when he eats them, the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he has nothing else left to him, in the siege and in the straitness, he won't give that to his wife of his bosom. He won't share it with anybody. These are my kids. I'm going to eat them. You don't get to have any. Isn't that wonderful, folks? Isn't this exactly the kind of crap that the whore church is saying? How we can hardly wait for this. We so hate the God of the Bible and His Word that we're willing to say, let's just get set up for that. Let's just bring all of the things that He says are going to cause this to come to play. Let's just help bring that about. By lying about His Word and by teaching that which He doesn't do and by saying the things that He says to do, we'll say not to do. The things that He says not to do, we'll say, yeah. Yeshua says, he that teaches the least, breaks the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, if he repents. Notice why I think that is supposed to be in there. If he repents, shall be least in the kingdom. We have whore churches today, folks, teaching people, if he said it, don't you believe it. What abominations from the pit of hell. They call themselves preachers and fathers and priests. What a lie. So, you got this tender dude. He won't give any of the flesh of his children to his wife of his bosom. He wants to just eat them himself. Because the enemy's going to straiten you and all your gates. In other words, the enemy is going to cause this to happen. By the way, the enemy, turns out, is already within the gates. The enemy's running for president. The enemy basically is saying, hey, I'm bringing in my forces. I got millions already ashore. They're already distributed. You just wait. You won't know what hits you when I drop the hammer. And by the way, do you think there's going to be an election in November? Who are you kidding? How stupid do people have to be? That is, if the guy who's running against the nominee that is going to be installed come hell or high water even survives until then, because they're going to keep trying to kill him. Maybe they'll eat him. You think I'm being sarcastic? No, folks. Let's read the rest of this. And this is sarcasm, and it's also prophecy. The tender and delicate woman among you. I remember mentioning this. This is what we would have called the Karen most recently, right? She's so tender. She wears her mask. She's better than you because she wears her mask. And she took her poison poke, and she's going to point her finger at you and say, "How dare you infect me with your unvaccinated blood?" The tender and delicate woman among you, the Karen, who wouldn't adventure to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom. Now I'm thinking, come on, are we kidding? Her eye's been evil against the husband that would take her since day one, okay? Let's just be honest here. But her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom, so that part already's done probably, and against her son, and against her daughter, and against her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet, and against her children whom she shall bear, because she will eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemy shall straiten you in your gates. Do you see what he's saying? He is literally talking, folks, about large-scale cannibalism. Now let's pause for a second. You notice, he doesn't say this is Haitians coming in and eating cats in Springfield, Ohio. There was a story out of Florida. Some people came and they ate. They stole and ate some people's horses off of their farm. I saw that and my heart went out to these folks. They love these horses. Some bastards came in, took their horses, took them down the road, dismembered them and ate them and left their carcasses so the family would find them a mile away. You think they're going to eat horses? You think they're going to eat dogs and cats? Sure. You think they're going to eat people? They're already doing it. It's already a rite of passage in some of these damnably evil gangs. They tattoo themselves, and they're proud of the fact that they will eat the organs of their enemies. Are we kidding ourselves? Do you think this isn't already the case? The whole point here is to inspire fear and to say, we will scare the hell out of you. We will cannibalize you. I have for years referred to what's coming out of the cities, what will emerge from Denver and San Francisco and Chicago and New York as the cannibal rape gangs. Because when the power grid goes down, and when the EBDC and the what used to be called food stamps and the various provisions, when the welfare gets cut off, and when there's no food in there because of Kamala's price controls and the cutoffs of deliveries to all these places, because as we've already seen in some cases, the truckers say, "I'm not going in there. Why would my life be worth going in there and risking my truck and my livelihood and my family and everything else just to give some people who want to kill me some food? I'm not going." So we've seen that. Then what happens? You know what happens. The gangs that have already established their territory, they have guns, while Kamala and the crew who hate the Bill of Rights have already disarmed the good people and scared them into compliance. You're in New York City. You can't have a gun. Hell, you can't even have a screwdriver on the subway. Remember that story a few years back? Good grief. The people who are destined to be eaten have already been pre-disarmed. They've done everything except saute them for the rapists and the criminals. They will, in fact, do the following. When the city shuts down, when the power goes off, they will rape, they will murder, they will kill, they will arm themselves, they will subdue the entire population, they will loot, and then when they're done killing and raping everybody in the entire Manhattan Island area, and when they've killed everybody on the lakefront in Chicago, and when they've killed everybody on the islands around Seattle, and when they've killed everybody in the peninsula around San Francisco, then the gangs will begin to emerge like vermin out of the swamp, and they will go down the interstate highways. And they will rape, and they will kill, and they will gain power and adherence, and they will swarm the countryside like locusts. And by the way, there's probably another prophetic element in there. What am I suggesting? This portion is talking about the man that's delicate and tender, and he eats his own children. The woman that's so delicate, she'll eat her own children too. What about the rest of the country? I tell you what, I think what the implication is. Now, this is, I will call this Markology, because does Scripture say it? No. And I know there are people that will say, "Oh, Mark's adding to Scripture." No, I'm just suggesting to you that when Scripture tells you this, you can pretty well bet there's other things going on already. Okay? The thing I'm going to tell you is probably a done deal by this time is the criminal rape gangs have already been having their way for quite a while before it gets bad enough that this man and this woman start eating their own kids. That's where we're at, folks. That is what we're going to see. That is what Scripture tells us is coming. And that is what I will contend if you have half a brain, you cannot look ahead more than 45 days at this point and say, it has been planned, it has been carefully put in place, it is going to be executed. Because there are, as you know, I sometimes talk about dates certain. All right, there are days when the Federal Reserve, like this week, raised or lowers interest rates. The Fed's Open Market Committee met on Wednesday. And they said, let's give it the camel a kick. Let's drop rates, not just a quarter point. That's what everybody thought was going to happen. We got a presidential candidate to stuff into office. She is losing badly, even though the polls are being rigged to lie. Honestly, Martin Armstrong and others suggest that Kamala's approval rating is even worse than the Biden Fuhrer. He was below 10%, the lowest in modern recorded history, and she is more hated than he was. Because he at least had the excuse he was senile. They chose to drop interest rates at literally a crisis panic level, full half point, because they got to stuff her in. It's all part of what is coming. I saw stories this week from the Daily Mail and some other leftist rags. Oh, they're not just predicting that Kamala's going to win by a squeaker. No, no. She's going to win in a landslide. An electoral college. Do you believe this? Are Americans really stupid enough to believe this? I'm seeing people around the room shaking their heads. Yeah, I won't disagree with that. But I will suggest the following. It doesn't matter what Americans believe, because the polls are going to lie. The polls are already lying, and you won't know, and they got to lie because when they rig the election results and when they shift the votes from column D to column D from column R, they have to have plausible deniability. They have to be able to say, see, we told you this was going to happen, as if we didn't already know it. And I'm hearing people say, oh, the right's just going to complain either way. Well, I guarantee you that if the landslide is big enough that the guy who is they want dead, if he was to win instead, you're going to see riots in the cities, and they will call out the millions of troops that are already here, and they will shut the grid down, and they will raise all kinds of hell. So what I'm suggesting is, hey, look at what's going to happen on November 5th, and there's only one way that things don't explode into utter chaos, madness, wanton destruction, and, yeah, release of the criminal rape gangs. Ready for this? They steal the election. They clamp down on the Internet. They censor every post, and they've been doing it. And the right says, they stole the election, they stole the election. And nobody hears a word. And those that complain about the election say, well, I better not go to Washington and complain this time, because they'll throw my ass right in there with those other people that have now been in jail for 4 years for daring to say that they didn't like the last rigged election. This was more transparent than ever, and I don't want to go to the gulag. They're going to put you in the camp anyway, folks. What difference does it make whether you're in the camp, in the gulag, and in the swamp, or whether they come and take you away from your homes? The point is, I suspect, by the way, this is not a prediction. This is just what would be called a thought experiment based on consistent. Is it consistent with the plagues we're seeing here? I suspect, in other words, that what happens is, if they can't rig the election, and it looks like they will, but if they can't, they've got nuclear war. We've got our bioweapons, we've got our H5N1, we've got our M-pox, don't call it monkeypox because people aren't scared if it's just LGBTQs that are going to die. We got our various poxes and AIDS and variants and all that kind of jazz. And by the way, you've already got weakened immune systems if you took multiple of the boosters, so you're dead already. That's a possibility. We've got, you name it, we've got an economic meltdown that is as sure as the little green apples and the sun coming up in the morning. Just only question is when, but we can pull the plug on that anytime we want to. BRICS is already going to do it eventually, so we might as well beat them to it and profit in the process. Folks, there are so many ways that an economy that is ready to be destroyed, that a country that is jonesing for destruction, a nation and a world that's on the brink of nuclear war could be brought down in hours, minutes, well, actually seconds at this point, that it boggles the mind. So I would say that the quietest option, and it pains me to say this, but it's true, the quietest option that I am able to see would be they rigged the election, they shut down the ability of people to say it was rigged, and Americans just say, I guess we're screwed. I guess we let it happen before. I guess we'll just wait for Camel to clear out the shelves. I guess we'll just wait for our kids to be hauled off and sent to battle in Ukraine. I guess we'll just wait for the illegal aliens to come across and they'll bring the rest of the communist Chinese army in. And I guess we'll just watch the U.S. Navy be destroyed and the pink subs sunk. And we'll just sit here quietly and we'll just sit by our little TVs and they'll keep us some bread and circuses and they'll give us a nice Super Bowl. We can look forward to that. And then when they surround us and then when eventually we don't have any food anymore, then we can always eat our sons and daughters. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, this is about as dire of a prediction of a prophecy as you will find in Scripture, and it's about as close to coming to pass as I think any Scripture you're ever going to see is as far as imminence in terms of coming to pass. And I've mentioned this last one, I've named this several more times, but I want to go and point this out. He says it again. This is yet another indictment of the whore church, right? The whore church that says, cursed be he that confirms the words of this Torah. Yeah, he we will execute, we'll execrate, we'll get rid of those people from out of our assembly. How dare you? How dare you say that that Jesus didn't do away with the law? Anybody else been kicked out of, you know, you remember the old joke, I've been kicked out of better churches than this? Okay. Anyway, he says it again, this being the Creator. He says this, after these nasty, nasty, you might even end up eating, or you will, when it comes to pass. And by the way, remember, here we are still in exile. I asked the question, once we're already in exile, how much worse can it get? Answer, here is one of the fulfillments of how much worse it can get. All right. What does he say? If you will not observe to do all of the words of this Torah written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and the fearful name. Ready? The Lord your God. Wrong. The name that we took out so that you can't fear it and we lied to you about so that you won't know what he's going to do to you when we lie to you. Yahuwah Eloheka. Yahuwah Yirel. Then he says, Yahuwah will make your plagues wonderful. And the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, long continuance, sore sickness, of long duration and continuance. This is a, it's a problem. We've seen references to plagues. I mentioned the four horsemen. Revelation talks about them. You know, everybody's heard about the four horsemen. What does it say here? And he will bring back upon you the diseases of Egypt, Mitzrayim, things that you were scared to death of, and they will cleave unto you. Okay? That's happened before. We've seen plagues before. We saw the Black Plague. We've seen the Spanish flu. We've seen all kinds of things. We saw the Booga Booga flu that turns out to be not nearly as scary as other things, but it was nicely engineered and sold, wasn't it? And more people have died now from the Zyklon B injection than ever died from COVID. But here's the part that I have emphasized. Certainly, if you've listened to me, you've heard me talk about this before. And if you want to look it up, if you want to talk about it to your friends, your neighbors, your family, do this and ask them, what is he talking about here? Because I will contend, in hindsight, thank you, Tony Fauci, it's obvious. Also, says the Creator, every sickness and every plague, which isn't even written in this book of the Torah, that, those, them, yeah, COVID, Mpox, Ebola pox, Booga Booga flu, H5N7, pick one. And I guarantee you, there's a whole bunch of them still on the shelves there. They're coming out of the labs. Every sickness, every plague, which is not even written in this book of the Torah, will Yahuwah bring upon you until you are destroyed. And you are left few in number, whereas once upon a time you were like the stars of the heavens for multitude. Why? How many times does he have to say it? Because you did not hearken to the voice of Yahuwah Yirel. Now listen to this and ask yourself, does the United States, does no longer Great Britain, does most of the European Union, do they deserve, does Australia, New Zealand, do they deserve what it is that they've been asking for so hard and so long? Seriously, can anybody say the answer is no? You'll be left few in number because you didn't hearken. And it shall come to pass that Yahuwah, as he rejoiced over you, to do you good. Remember, he did. He rejoiced as the United States became the most powerful and blessed and richest nation on planet Earth. As he rejoiced over you to do you good, to multiply you, so will Yahuwah rejoice over you to cause you to perish and destroy you. Now let's pause. I keep asking this question, right? This portion is called Ki Tavo, when you have come into the land. And the question is, what about when we have been kicked out of the land for cause? What then? Does it make sense? Now, I'm not saying that I know or don't know. I'm just saying, does it make sense that we ought to at least take a warning here? Because he did, in fact, rejoice over us to do us good. We saw that. I don't think this nation can deny that. So will Yahuwah rejoice over you to cause you to perish and destroy you. Do you think a nation that literally celebrates LGBTQ, that celebrates the massacre of infants in the womb and after they come out by the millions, that cuts the genitalia and the breasts off little boys and girls, that celebrates things that he calls abomination, and that teaches them to innocent youngsters and says, "This is your God, O America." Do you think he won't rejoice to see the destruction that this nation has literally been saying, "Come on, God, I double dog dare you"? I honestly have difficulty imagining. Yeah, and you've heard me do the Billy Graham interpretation before, right? If the Lord God in heaven does not judge the United States of America, he will owe a sincere apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, we make Sodom and Gomorrah with our technology, with our projection of power, with our ability to destroy minds, we make Sodom and Gomorrah look like pikers. And he brought destruction down upon them with fire and brimstone. We had the story. I've got it sitting here on the screen. I'll just do this briefly because I talked about it last night. The European Union Parliament, this week, on Thursday, passed a resolution allowing Ukraine and calling for Ukraine to attack within Russia using NATO and U.S.-supplied long-range missiles and armament. A step that Putin has called an invitation to war. We will declare, we will have considered that if NATO does this, this is an open declaration of war. Now here's the thing that's interesting. This was the news from Friday. The speaker of the basically Russian House of Parliament, their Duma, he came out and said the following. This is Vaclav Volodin, or Volodin. For those who don't understand, for the first time today, the European Parliament called on EU countries to lift restrictions on Kiev's long-range strikes on our country and its territory. Okay? He says, I repeat, if something like this happens, Russia will give a tough response using more powerful weapons. The Duma insists on this. No one should have any illusions about it. Question for the EU Parliament. Did you consult with your voters before you did this? Did you consult with the citizens of European countries? Do they want the destruction coming to their homes? He reminds them of what happened in World War II. 27 million Soviet citizens died in the fight against fascism. America and England, you lost a total of 800,000. Hell, our losses in the Battle of Stalingrad alone were over 1.13 million people. The only thing the European Parliament should do after such a statement is dissolve itself. And he basically says it was our country that liberated you and all of Europe. Don't forget, if you do this, listen to this, we will use nukes. What the European Parliament is calling for, he said, and this is a quote, leads to world war using nuclear weapons. Can you begin to see, folks, how that fits with some of the prophecies as well? Doesn't it make sense? I guess you could say one way to get to a place where children are being eaten by their parents is post-nuclear war. When all the animals that are laying out there rotting in the fields are, well, nuclear radioactive. Kids aren't. Let's eat them. They were here in the bunker with us. Are you kidding me? Again, I don't believe it is possible to read this and to see what's going on in the world without asking some really tough questions, especially when it comes to a whore church that's been telling you, essentially, if you remember the line from The Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. This portion ends with this idea of he'll scatter you. Well, we've been scattered. Okay? Your life will hang in doubt before you. Does this sound like the aftermath of a nuclear war? fearing night and day, saying in the morning, I wish it was evening, in the evening, I wish it was morning, for fear of all of the things that your eyes shall see. You go back into bondage, brought by ships. These are the words of the covenant that Yahuwah made with Moshe and commanded that he communicate to the B'nai Israel. It ends with observe the words of this covenant to do them. If you do, all that you do will prosper. If not, we're seeing it. Now, I went through that in some detail, and there's lots of other scripture that you could point to and say certainly is apropos here. I'm going to just point to one thing. Isaiah 60. If you want some words of comfort, read that, because essentially what he describes and what we know is Isaiah 60 tells us that after all of this happens, there is a time of blessing. And the goyim, the nations, the Gentiles will come. And there will be blessing for those that are survived. Great. We're told to be overcomers. Great. Now, as you know, my consistent theme, I believe it comes, well, it does. It comes right out of Scripture, Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people. Don't participate in her sins so that we don't partake of the plagues that are obvious. How do you get out? Well, that part they're trying to make as hard as possible. You get as far from everything that is satanically evil as you can, economically, physically, spiritually, in every way that you can. Proverbs 29, as I was scanning through it, this one leaped off the page at me. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Well, that hadn't been for quite a while. When a wicked person rules, the people groan. Well, we're seeing all of that. I mentioned Isaiah 60. If you want to read some encouraging stuff, do that. I'm going to close with something instead from Yeshua's warning in Matthew 24. But it says in Isaiah 60, Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Yahuwah has risen upon you. Okay, your heart shall swell with joy, with fear, with awe even. And he's going to do all these good things. But that's for those that survive, right? The promises in Revelation, if you recall, they are for overcomers, which is what we need to be and should be. I mentioned Matthew 24. I also want to mention two other things that I think will get us there. Let's start with those, and then we'll go to Matthew 24. Because there are two places two places in the writings of Paul. Remember this guy, Shaul? Now, it's funny to me that so much of the whore church will take the writings of Paul and they will turn them on their head. They'll point to Galatians, which I call the most twisted book in Scripture, and they'll say, see, Paul says all this is done away with. Pay attention to him. Don't pay any attention to the one that he called his master and savior. Okay, sorry. And those two places that I think are particularly interesting in that regard are from the letters to the Corinthians. And let's start with this one. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the subheading in the study Bible that I've got here says, Flee from idolatry. This is kind of like come out of her. When you realize that the whore church is teaching idolatry, get out of it. When you realize that the whore, United States that once was based upon those self-evident truths is now teaching abominations and cutting the genitalia off little boys and girls. Get them the hell out of there. Therefore, says Paul, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Now, right there, that leaves most of the whore church out. Because they're not going to allow you to judge. They're going to tell you what he should have written, whether he actually wrote it or not. The cup of blessing with which we bless, is that not the communion of the blood of the Messiah? The life is in the blood. I've had whore church members tell me, if Jesus was here, he'd have taken the Zyklon B. And no, they don't call it that. They'll say, he would have taken the Pfizer shots. Oh, really? What kind of poor pissant God do you worship who needs an mRNA injection in his divinely great blood in order to protect himself from something that he could simply whisper away with a mere word? What kind of crap are these people peddling? Any pastor that said something like that, I would basically flip him off, and I do mean with the middle finger, folks, and walk the hell out of that church of Satan. This is the kind of crap that people are being fed. What does Paul say? You know what? I'm afraid you'll put up with it. And he was right. Okay. here, why am I saying this? What am I saying then? An idol is anything, and what is offered to idols? What's that? Is that anything? He says, rather, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, the Gentiles, the Goyim, the pagans, that word here is appropriate. Pagans. The pagans sacrifice to demons and not to Elohim. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Now, wait a minute. That's not what we're hearing from the most part. They're saying, oh, you can have all the fellowship you want. That's not what Paul says. Isn't it funny? I don't ever remember hearing this verse quoted on Sun God Day School. You cannot drink the cup of Yahuwah and the cup of demons. You can't partake of the table of Yahuwah. Notice they put the Lord in there. And of the table of demons. Or do we try to provoke Yahuwah to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Now listen to this. This you will hear. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. What does that mean? Does that mean that he can do that which the Creator says not to do? Is that what he's saying? Folks, if it is, we got a problem here, because he is doing exactly what Yeshua said would make him, if he repents, least in the kingdom. I read it. Cursed is the man who says exactly what that seems like it's saying. Cursed be he that does not confirm the words of this Torah to do them. And the people shall say, Amen. The word that's used there in the Greek is nomos. I don't have the Greek sitting here, but I guarantee you that's almost certainly what it is, or the some variant that has to do with nomos-like. In other words, what he's saying is, don't pay much attention to what men say he should have said. What matters is what the Creator himself wrote. And the point is, there are a lot of things that they will tell you aren't lawful that he's saying are, and do we know the difference? Let no one seek his own, but each one another's well-being. Okay. And then it goes on to say about things in the meat market. Guess what? He's not talking about making pig holy by praying it over it. Pig is not food. He's talking about whether or not somebody has sacrificed something to demons. All right, let's turn to chapter 11, rather, of 2 Corinthians. This one I've read fairly frequently, but I want to note that there's another bit that follows, and I have not often read that far. Oh, but you would bear with me, he begins, chapter 11. This is, again, Shaul, Paul. And indeed do bear with me, because I'm jealous with a godly jealousy. I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to the Messiah. And you know why I don't use the word Christos there? Because there's all kinds of Christos. Yeshua himself warned about it. They'll say, here's a Christ, there's a Christ, everywhere a Christ, Christ. You know what, folks? Christos means little kings, little gods. And there were all kinds of them in the Greek language. As a matter of fact, even the word Messiah means anointed one. Lots of folks were anointed. Kings were anointed. They were Mashiachim. And so were the high priest. He was anointed. So there are a lot of folks that are anointed, but there is one that gets the capitalization, if you want English. That doesn't exist in the Hebrew. The one that whose coming was foretold, and actually it turns out there were two variants. His coming was foretold twice, remember? Mashiach ben Joseph, the suffering servant, and Mashiach ben David, the conquering king. Arguably, we've seen the suffering servant, but not the conquering king, and that's part of the reason why a lot of folks were disappointed. That's not the one they got first. All right, here's where Paul gets to the rubber meeting the road. Just as I fear you might be deceived, as the Nachash deceived Chava, he says, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in the real Messiah, as opposed to, well, what he's going to say here, another Jesus. Quote, because if he comes preaching to you another Jesus whom we've not preached, another, you know, one who did away with the law, one who is not confirming the words of the Torah, one who changed so much as one yod or tittle, you know, that one, the one you've heard about in Sun God Day School, another Jesus whom we've not preached. And if you receive a different spirit, a different ruach from the one you have received and accepted, well, I'm afraid you'll put up with it. And I'll say it again, he was right. This was written, folks, only a few decades after he walked the earth, and it was already clear. How much more so, and this is another metaphor Paul uses all the time, how much more so 2 millennia later, when we have literally grown up being told the law is done away with, and don't keep his instruction, even though the Bible says cursed is the man who tries to not confirm every word of it. Okay. I consider I'm not all inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I'm untrained in speech. He's going to be a little self-deprecating here. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel to you free of charge? All right? Why? Well, because I love you. Elohim knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. He's warning about what I will call and continue to call the whore church. It was clear then. I will contend that it was clear in 325 AD at the Council of Nicaea. And afterwards, in 365 and in other places, when they literally started first burning people at the stake, well, before that they called them Judaizers. And they said, don't you dare keep the Sabbath. And then they started killing people. They burned people at the stake. And they had the various inquisitions, as you probably recall. They had people forced conversions and so forth. We had the diasporas. And all of the things that if we look at history, honestly, we'll say, wow, that was some truly nasty stuff. How, by the way, did you prove you weren't a Jew and not worthy of being executed on the spot? Answer, hey, it's Sun God Day. Watch me eat this pig. Mmm, yummy, yummy, yummy. There's my Easter ham. These are the kind of things, folks, that history says did, in fact, happen. We're still dealing with the aftermath of it. Such, he said, and here's the line I want to mention. Such, he said, are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of, and I will read what it says in the English version I'm looking at here, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. For no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of so-called righteousness. I added that word so-called in there. Whose end will be according to their works. This whole thing is a condemnation. And it's not the only place. It's not one of the few places even. There's lots of them where he condemns exactly the kind of thing that the whore church has been doing and teaching and getting away with. He says it this way. Because you put up with fools gladly. Because you're so wise. A little sarcasm there, it seems like. Because if you put up with someone who brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, strikes you on the face, to our shame, I say, we're too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, so am I bold also. This is interesting, and what's amazing to me about it is, when we start to see it, and understand, here's the razor. I've talked about this for the longest time, but I think it's so important, especially now. If someone comes preaching to you another Jesus whom we've not preached, I'm afraid you'll put up with it. He says, let him be accursed. He says it twice, let him be accursed. You know where he gets that? Right here. Cursed be he that does not confirm the words of this Torah to do them. And all the people say, amen. So does Paul. He says, amen. Cursed is that individual. He says it in the first chapter of Galatians twice. Can we not read? Can we not understand? Here's the razor, and this is the part that is so easy once we see it. If you see Paul telling you to do away with the Torah, and that it's okay to do exactly what he just finished saying will bring a curse upon you, somebody's lying, and hint, it isn't Paul. And you know what else? It's not the Messiah. It's not the Torah made flesh. It's not Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and his salvation in the flesh. It's not Yahushua. All of his word is consistent. He does not change so much as one yod or tittle because all is not yet fulfilled. Not a single word has passed away. By the way, neither have his two witnesses, heaven and earth. So, the razor, the thing that is so important, how do we rightly divide the word and look at all of these curses and say, how can we recognize? As you know, I mentioned we get to Matthew 24. What is Yeshua saying? There is going to be some kind of deception. It's going to be something for the record books. How nasty is it going to be? Right? Well, so bad that even the elect would be deceived if the times weren't shortened. If someone says to you, look, here's a Christ, there's a Christ, everywhere a Christ, Christ. This is Matthew 24, verse 23. Yeah, I paraphrased it just a bit. Don't believe it, he says. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. Hey, they got AI helping them. To deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. There's part of the key. I have told you before, and he has given us, he has laid, line by line, precept by precept, building upon the rock, everything we need to know in order to be able to deal with the deception that's coming, to recognize it, and to be not deceived. Yep, he will shorten the days, because it's going to be nasty. It's going to be scary. It's going to be vivid. I guarantee you, with AI and with some of the things that you've seen in the movies, from the Terminator to you name it, oh yeah, folks, we're going to see some pretty amazing stuff. But see, I've told you beforehand. We have been prepared for the deception that is to come. And arguably, and this is what I want to keep emphasizing, the most important razor of all is the one that he gave us in his very first public address. If someone comes to you and says the law is done away with, if they come to you and try to convince you that Jesus did away with the law, get the hell out of that false church of Satan as fast as your little legs can carry you. Can I be more clear? That is a liar and the truth is not in him. And he is calling the Son of Glory a liar and the truth is not in him. Guess who you should believe? Guess who I believe? Guess what we have? We have everything we need in writing to make that case. Don't think, he said, that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I didn't. I came not to destroy, but to make clear to you exactly what it is that's coming. To fulfill what I came to do the first time. What did he come to do? He came to be the propitiation for our sins. To lay down his life, to drink the cup in our place. Why does he have to come back? Is he coming back? Well, if he's coming back, folks, not all is fulfilled. And if we look at the world today, we can say, that's a damn good thing he's coming back, because I think we need him, right? Bo Mashiach, come soon. Assuredly, till heaven and earth pass away, he says, not one yod or one tittle will pass from the Torah until all is fulfilled. And furthermore, right, cursed be he that does not confirm all the words of this Torah to do them. Yeshua says, if somebody doesn't confirm this Torah, if they break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so, yeah, if they repent, I honestly don't believe somebody who is cursed and does not confirm the words of the Torah, I don't think he's getting in the door. Honestly, I don't believe it. I think probably they took those words out of here because there were some people that were doing this that were thinking, yeah, this is gonna corrupt our power base just a bit. Okay, I can't prove that. I've seen versions that have it in there and versions that don't. I will tell you, most of the English Bibles, just as they take the word Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey out and put in Lord, they take out those words too. And they don't like to talk about this. They don't even like to talk about your priest, your pastor, your minister being least in the kingdom. What if they're a clergy response team member and they take people to the prison camps and help them die at the hands of the Zyklon B injections? Are those folks going to be in there too? Least in the kingdom? Color me skeptical. All right? The point is, we have in Scripture a consistent set of indications, truth tests. The word is razor, right? Occam's razor. The simplest explanation to a scientist is usually the best. We have what you might call Yeshua's razor here. If someone tells you that I'm a liar and the truth is not in him, and they call me a liar because they say I changed my own word when I said I didn't, guess who you should believe? If they tell you Paul says that the law is done away with, you better read Paul more carefully at best. Or they're just plain lying and it's a crappy translation. Find a good one. Study to show yourself approved. Rightly divide the word. Be a workman worthy of your hire. All right, let me say it again. This is not hard. It's not too difficult for you. What is difficult is learning that we have inherited lies from our fathers. And recognizing that, yeah, honestly, folks, I'm not going to soft pedal this. Like I said, I didn't read the comforting words from Isaiah 60 this week, arise, arise, shine, for your light has come. I did read the hard parts. And I warned that we got some nasty you-know-what coming down. We're going to have to deal with it. And you know what? It's coming by a date certain. I don't know what's going to happen on November 5th and November 6th and in the week that follows. I have some pretty good ideas. You know that there's going to be a major battle between good and evil. And it's literally coming to a head. And one thing will happen. Either truth will prevail, or those who are his will be subjugated, and we will see the can kicked down the road, and we will deal with these plagues that will come a little bit later rather than right then on November 6th. But one thing is for sure. As of the next couple of months, we are going to see things, like it or not, that we have never seen before in our lives. Things that people are going to say, I didn't think this would ever happen. Of course, that's been the kind of thing we've been saying for years, isn't it? I didn't think this could ever happen in America. Not the nation I grew up in. I could never believe that they would let a whore who didn't get a single vote in the primaries and who wants to take away your guns and she's an outright avowed communist, even pretend to be the nominee. I can't believe they would try to kill or, you know, subjugate or throw in prison the guy who was running and who was actually elected. I can't believe any of this. People's minds boggle. Well, guess what? All of this was foretold to the extent that we were warned about the curses that were coming and that are now here. And you can't look at this without saying, like it or not, we deserve. We deserve every single word that's written in here. So what about the rest of us, right? We have to come out. It is not promised that we should perish. We, in fact, can count on His Word. Now, what is the point? We're going to see it in next week's Torah portion about as clearly as it can be stated in all of Scripture. I have laid before you this day life and blessing, death and cursing. We have a choice. Choose life. Folks, we can choose life. The choice of life comes with obedience. What does Paul say our rightful servant is? If we have been redeemed by His blood, what is our rightful service? To be bondservants to the Most High. What does He say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Which? You know, the ones He wrote down for us in genuine print and said He wasn't changing one yod or tittle of. Oh, Mark, you're telling me that I can't eat bacon. No, I didn't say that. Listen to what I said. I said that if you walk in rebellion to Him, there's curses. All right? You choose. You want to have His curses? Go for it. Have your bacon. And then when you die of some plague that He warned you isn't even written in His book, you let that God save you. How many times does He have to tell us? It's real simple. There are consequences for choices. I can't tell you how many times it gets me angry. People tell me, you're saying I don't have a choice. The hell I'm not. I'm saying you do have a choice. You had a choice not to take the Zyklon B. It may cost you your job, but hell, what's worth more to you? It's going to cost you if you choose not to take the mark of the beast. You going to do it? Or are you going to say no? Oh, you're telling me I don't have to take... I'm telling you, you get to choose. I'm telling you that He's warned you if you take it, you don't want to know what's going to happen. Well, yeah, you do know what's going to happen. You don't want it. But if you take it, you will have made your choice. Folks, it is real simple. We have a choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose. And the problem is, we got a lot of people, and they're in positions of power, and they're telling you, hell no, you don't get to choose. My body, my choice, you don't got no choice. We'll kill your kids. We'll cut their genitalia off. We'll take you to jail if you think you have any choice in their education, or if you try to get them to worship a different God than the hell on earth we want them to serve. My body, my choice? No. My God, my choice? Only if we choose wisely and if we recognize that He has given us a choice and there's no power on this earth that can take that choice away from you. But understand, you will be held responsible for the choice you make. Choose wisely. And may He bless us and guide us and give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we are not deceived. All right. So with that, I'll say any comments or questions on anything. I realize that's kind of a difficult one. This is one of the ones, the most, I would suggest when it comes to today, important Torah portions in the Scriptures. Because these curses, folks, I can't look at this. I cannot read these without recognizing we are there. We have seen so many of them that we can't help but recognize the rest are literally on the immediate horizon. We're on the cusp of those things becoming made manifest. Those that we can see, but we haven't yet seen, they're almost here. Let's see. Questions or comments? So, yeah, I realize people are noting that the waltz may be a deeper, darker commie than a commie camellia is. Not that it matters. That's another story. I don't want to get deeply involved in that. I will contend, and I will quote some others who have correctly said, there is no political solution to a spiritual problem. I do not, but I don't care who you vote for. The vote, remember, is not a scriptural principle to begin with. There's never a vote in Scripture. Not one. that comes out anything other than a rejection of the Creator. I don't think this one's going to be any different, folks, than what Scripture and history have demonstrated to us so many times. So what am I suggesting? You don't have to vote and be bound by the decision of some majority of people, all of whom are jonesing for hell on earth. You have a choice. Nothing, no power on this planet can take that choice away from you. Choose life. I have come, says Yeshua, John 10:10, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose obedience. Choose His instruction. Choose to walk in the way that He tells us to walk. And choose blessing. And it is that simple. And I guarantee you, they are not going to make it easy. But ultimately, it is the answer that leads to life. That's why he says, I think that the path that leads to life is narrow, and few there be that find it. So again, any other comments or questions? Are we going to see some true nastiness? Again, I don't doubt that. So that's I think, just something that we need to be watchful about and to be aware of. And we know that all of this essentially leads to the rise of you-know-what, the anti-Mashiach. And you can almost see it from here. We can certainly smell the sulfur from here of that. All right, let's close in prayer. Yehuah Eloheinu, Yehuah Echad. Abba, we come before you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you have given us a choice. We pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that because you've told us to pray this, that we'd be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth, that we would be found doing your work when you return. Help us, Father, to speak your truth boldly as we ought to. Help us to be not deceived. Guide us that we might confirm all of the words of your Torah, that we might walk in blessing. Father, we stand on your word. We know your word says that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that those promises are conditional. Guide us that we might walk in such a way that we would be counted worthy, as your word says, to escape these things that are coming, to walk into your land, to see the things that are going to happen. One way or the other, Father, some of us will do so in this body and some of us in others, but guide us all that we might, in fact, be found doing your work, that we might be counted as part of your kingdom, and that above all, we would pray that we would be good and faithful servants unto you, in whatever way it is that you have for us to be such. Abba, this we ask in your set-apart name, for you are our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our help in times of trouble, our Mashiach, our salvation. Yehuah Zedeknu, Yehuah Vitzivenu, Yehuah Zevuot, our banner, Yehuah Nisi, our all-sufficient El Shaddai, and we thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's see, one more. Don't see any other comments or questions or anything, so let's close with the Aaronic blessing. We remember that Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak in turn to Aaron and his sons, and say to them, this is how you bless the B'nai Yisrael. Say to them, Yivarekecha Yahuwah v'ishmarecha, Yair Yahuwah panav alecha v'chunecha, Isaiahu, Penav lecha, V'yasim lecha, Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah make His face to shine upon you. May Yahuwah lift His countenance upon you and give you His shalom. Amen. And thus He said, they shall put Shemi, my name, on the B'nai Yisrael, and I myself shall bless him. And may it be so, folks. And may He guide us and protect us in these days. Amen.